Where do things stand in North Carolina, politically speaking? Public Policy Polling just put out a latest survey about it with some pretty significant numbers. We're joined now on the air by Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website if you want to get all the numbers. They're online right now, but we're going to break some of them down for you now. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start at the top. Democrats and Republicans, obviously not polling specific races yet in the state House and Senate, but where do things stand in terms of the overall race across the state between these two parties?
Democrats have a 5-point advantage on the generic legislative ballot, 46-41. And I think one thing that's particularly important in the context of what you were just talking about with no presidential race, no Senate race, no gubernatorial race, this election in the state this year really is going to come down, I think, to which side's more motivated, who's going to turn out, and what's likely to be a low turnout election. And we found that among voters who said they're very excited about voting this fall, that 5-point Democratic edge goes up to 13 points at 53-40. So I think that is very significant because we may not have particularly high turnout this year, and it seems like at this point, the folks who are more motivated to come out and vote, even without anything really sexy on the ballot, are the Democrats.
And this is in the context of a survey that's showing some kind of trends going up for Republicans in a couple of areas. 42% approval rating for Donald Trump, which isn't great, but higher than we've seen across the country and in other states. 37% of voters in North Carolina say they're in favor of the tax reform plan that got passed last month, and that's still extremely low, and more voters are opposed to it than in favor of it, but that's also up a little bit from where things stood a month or so ago. So those are things that Republicans could potentially point to and say, here the trends are on their way up. And nevertheless, in that context, you've still got a 13-point lead for Democrats among voters that are excited about voting in 2018. And I think that's really significant.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually think it's interesting to think about Donald Trump's numbers right now in the state in terms of some historical context. As you said, 42% of voters approve of the job he's doing, 50% disapprove. If we go back and look at where our polling was at sort of a comparable time in 2010 in North Carolina, it really was in a very similar place. You saw Obama in the low 40s like this. He actually had a 44% approval rating this exact same week in 2010, 50% disapproval. So close to identical numbers between where Obama was in his first midterm, where Trump is in his first midterm. And obviously we saw that that sort of approval level for Obama in the low to mid 40s led to a huge election year for Republicans in the state. His unpopularity was enough to really let Republicans win a lot of stuff and in some ways put us in the situation we're in now with the sort of constant redistricting drama. So even though Trump is not as unpopular here as he is nationally, his numbers are certainly still in the danger zone where they're not a good sign for his party this fall.
And speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, let's turn to significant figures in North Carolina. Where do voters stand on Roy Cooper? Where do voters stand on the General Assembly?
Well, Roy Cooper is still popular. 49% of voters approve of the job he's doing, 33% disapprove. One thing that I found very surprising is that his numbers are actually better than they were the month he took office. He had a 45% approval rating last January, now a 49% approval rating. What we almost always see with politicians is sort of the best numbers they ever have right after they took office in the honeymoon period, and then their numbers sort of inevitably defray over time. But Cooper's actually gotten a little bit more popular in the last year, and his numbers are especially noteworthy when you sort of look at them in a historical context compared to where his two predecessors were at the same time. Pat McCrory in January of 2014 had a 37% approval, 47% disapproval. Bev Perdue had a 30% approval, 48% disapproval in January of 2010. So they were both already unpopular by this point in their terms and never really recovered from that for either of them. And Cooper, on the other hand, is staying strong.
What about the General Assembly?
They're unpopular, as we're used to them being, only a 19% approval rating for the body as a whole, a 51% disapproval. one thing that is worth noting is that both parties are unpopular in the General Assembly. The Democrats in the General Assembly have a 39% approval rating, 45% disapprove, but the Republicans are even worse off. Only 35% approve of the job they're doing, 51% disapprove. So this is actually sort of a good microcosm of the national situation, too, which is voters don't like either party, but they like the Republicans a lot less even than they like the Democrats, even if they're not necessarily fond of the Democrats.
And if you're listening out there, you can get all of these numbers and more on publicpolicypolling.com, which is PPP's website. We're speaking with Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling. So you mentioned redistricting, which is still a fight that's ongoing. A couple of different court cases still making their way through the courts now with the midterm election drawing ever nearer. And this has been an issue all through this decade and last decade and the decade before. And the proposal that's on the table to sort of eliminate all of these court battles and constant bickering with politicians trying to draw their own district lines is the idea of some kind of nonpartisan or independent redistricting commission, or taking the power out of the hands of legislators to give them the power to draw their own district lines and put it in the hands of people who don't stand to benefit directly from it. Where do voters stand on that?
Well, it's something that there's overwhelming support for. We find that one thing that's particularly noteworthy about the support for it is that it's something that is most popular with independents, even though it's popular across party lines. 59% of voters support nonpartisan redistricting, only 15% are opposed to it. And on most issues, you sort of have Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other side, independents somewhere in between. But on nonpartisan redistricting, independents actually are who want it the most, 69% support, 12% opposition, I think because independents sort of just don't trust either party. So nonpartisan redistricting sounds good to them. And then Democrats support it 62-12. But what I always find most noteworthy to some extent when we ask about this in North Carolina is that even though Republicans are benefiting from the current situation, there's still 45% support for nonpartisan redistricting among Republicans, 21% opposition. So this is the rare issue in North Carolina in these times when we've been so closely divided, where you really see voters all agreeing about something across party lines.
And then up back to the federal government and the issues we're talking about up there in D.C. Obviously, the shutdown was last week and still close to the front of everyone's minds. And that shutdown fight was largely over the DACA program and the fight to get that restored. Where do North Carolinians stand on those?
That's something else that we really see an unusually high level of support for. 64% of voters in the state support it, 25% are opposed. And that has support from 82% of Democrats, 61% of independents, and even 43% of Republicans. And DACA is something that we see as popular pretty much everywhere. We did a poll in Missouri a couple weeks ago, which obviously is a pretty Republican state, and even there we saw 60% support for it. So I think this is one of those issues where there's kind of a disconnect between the politicians and the voters. Politicians are so scared in a lot of cases, I think, to protect the dreamers. But when it actually comes to where public opinion is on it, there's really pretty resounding support for taking those steps.
Speaking again with Tom Jensen, so put all of that together and looking back at previous surveys of North Carolina and taking a look at sort of the trend lines and how things have shaped up over the last few months or over the last year, what are we looking at heading into 2018? This is a year where you expect Democrats to pick up some seats. You always do after the Republican wins the White House. But how significant could this be in November?
I think it could end up being a bigger year than people are really expecting for Democrats. I don't know that they really could come close to taking control of the House or the Senate, but I think that they're going to end up blowing past taking away the veto-proof majority. They have to win 48 seats to break the veto-proof majority, and I think they're not going to be scraping by at 48 or 49 seats. I think they'll end up with something more comfortably into the 50s. We've started in our private polling work doing some of the initial work at the legislative, looking at the legislative landscape across the state. And Democrats are not necessarily winning, but competitive in some parts of the state where they have not been for a long time and where they have not really tended to be, have much of a chance in recent elections. So that's what's, I think, been interesting to see is it's not just Wake and Mecklenburg County where we're seeing a shift. We're also seeing a shift in the Alamance counties of the world and those kinds of places. So I think it's going to end up being the biggest playing field there's been for legislative seats in North Carolina in quite a long time, just between the political mood and between the new maps that are a little bit more fair to Democrats. And the other thing that'll be interesting to see is if some of the congressional races even come into play. I mean, obviously we have a House map that is supposed to be pretty comfortably 10-3 for the Republicans, but to get comfortably 10-3, that means that you have a bunch of Republican plus 10 districts as opposed to Republican plus 20 or 25 districts. And having districts Republican plus 10 means that in a political climate like this, Republican plus 10, you might actually have a Democrat win. I think for all the noise of the last 2 weeks, the most interesting thing that happened politically was in Wisconsin in a state Senate election in a rural white part of the state that had voted for Donald Trump by 17 points. Democrats not just won last week, but won by 10 points. And to have a 27-point shift like that, and it's the kind of thing we've seen in a lot of special elections across the country over the last couple of years, it means both that Democrats are a lot more fired up about coming to vote than Republicans are, and you have enough people who voted for Trump who have buyer's remorse that they're switching back over to the Democratic side, whereas there's basically nobody who voted for Clinton who's now saying that they're going to vote Republican. So when you see that kind of shift in a place like that, that's where you see the possibility that maybe some of North Carolina's congressional seats will come into play in addition to the gains Democrats are almost sure to make in the legislature.
If you're listening out there, you can get all of these numbers and more at publicpolicypolling.com. Tom, I got to let you go in a couple of minutes, but there's a couple other questions I want to ask you about from this survey. Carolina basketball season is ongoing, so this is the survey where you ask about the Carolina-Duke rivalry and where North Carolinians stand as far as that goes. Are we Tar Heel fans or are we Blue Devils?
We are UNC fans. 41% say that when UNC and Duke can play in a couple weeks, they'll be rooting for the Tar Heels. Only 31% say they'll be rooting for Duke. And this is now the 10th or 11th time we've done this survey. And UNC's always been up by double digits. So that's one thing that as much as the political scene in the state has changed over the last decade, we still agree on that we're for the Tar Heels. And one thing that was sort of amusing on this survey was that among people who voted for Hillary Clinton, UNC was up by 22 points, 47-25, while among people who voted for Donald Trump, Duke was ahead 38-35. So Carolina Blue going not just for the school colors, but for the political colors as well.
That sounds about right. And then finally, I know you love this question every time you do the North Carolina survey. How likely are you to take your shirt off and twist around your head like a helicopter? 22% of people who describe themselves as liberals said they have taken their shirt off and twisted around their head like a helicopter. 18% of moderates, 11% of people who say they're somewhat conservative, and 7% of people who say they're very conservative. So I want to know, where are the 7% of super hyper conservative people who have taken their shirt off and twisted it around their head like a helicopter?
They're probably drunk at UNC frat parties. Wouldn't that be your guess?
That's probably the right answer, yeah. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Go there and get more numbers. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.